Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Alhamdulillah, one of the beauties of coming to the weekly Ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami is that we learn about the blessings of reciting Durood and Salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's a very beautiful hadith quoted in Jami' Tirmidhi in which the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, أولى الناس بيوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The closest to me on the day of judgment from the people will be the one who recited the most salat upon me, the most durood upon me. Now if I were to ask a question, who wants to be closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I think every one of us will put our hands up and will say that yes, I definitely want to be the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So an easy way to get close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by reciting durood upon him. Now just imagine, you know, if you read the books of Seerat and the biography books, you'll find our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so much for this ummah. When he was born, he remembered this ummah. When he went on Mi'raj, he remembered this ummah. When he physically departed from this world, he remembered this ummah. And the scholars, they say, each and every step of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remembered me and you. My dear Islam brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jal has done us such a great favor. But in return, how many times have we remembered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let's be honest. Put your hand on your heart and say, how many times did we recite durood upon him today? Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe 10 times, maybe a few 100 times. And some of us will say, totally forgot. Why? Because we were too busy. We totally forgot about him. We've forgotten the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will never forget us. He will never forget us. So why are we forgetting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So inshallah, let's remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah, the more we remember him, the more closest we'll be to him on the day of judgment. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here he says that Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah alayhi, he comments on this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, the person at most ease on the day of judgment will be he who accompanies the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way of attaining the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companionship is to recite durood upon him in abundance. You know, let me give you an example. You know, if you were going traveling on a journey, and it's a very hard journey, this, you know, the way is very hard, it's dark, you're lonely, you're going to feel scared, aren't you? You're going to feel scared, and you're going to feel nervous even traveling. But if you have a companion with you, if you have someone with you, and that someone is that you know, and you know that he will protect you, you're not going to be fearful, are you? You're going to be going anywhere you want. Why? Because I've got someone to protect me. Now on the day of judgment, we hear from the scholars that it will be so tough and so hard on the day of judgment. Just imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being on our side, how alhamdulillah azza wa jal easy it will be to travel on the day of judgment. One day will be equivalent to 50,000 years. 50,000 years. Just imagine in the summer how hot it gets. Yeah, just imagine on the day of judgment when the sun will be just 1.25 miles away from your head. The earth will be made out of copper. There will be heat. People will be drowning in their own sweat. Just imagine on that day, who's going to help us? The hadith mentions your mom and dad will run away from you. Your friends will run away from you. Your brothers, your sisters, they'll do anything for you in the world. We'll do anything for our parents. our mother will come to us, "Son, I just need one good deed from you. That's all. I did so much for you. I did so much for you. I made you come to the world. I looked after you when you were young. I looked after you when you couldn't even feed yourself. You couldn't clean yourself. I did so much for you. In return, I'm just asking for one good deed." And you know what the son will reply? "Mom, I know you did a lot for me, but I'm sorry I can't help you today. I cannot help you today. The father will come to you. If you are a father, you'll go to your children. Son, I did so much for you. I used to be, you know, driving about in the dark. I used to be working all day hard for you. You know, please, I just need one good deed. You give me that, I'll enter paradise." And the son will say, "Dad, I'm sorry. You, what you've done for me, I appreciate that. But I will not be able to help you today. There will be only one person that will help you. And that is our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the person that sadly we don't have time to remember about. Inshallah, today we're going to talk about a personality that not only remembered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to talk about a personality that even now is with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this personality, I'm going to start off with this beautiful narration. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates this hadith. And she says that in the beginning of Islam, only 38 people had accepted Islam. Can you imagine that time? There's 1.9 billion Muslims in the world today. One quarter of the world, alhamdulillah, is Muslim. At that time, only 38 Muslims. Sayyiduna Amirul Mu'mineen, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayka wasallam, give me the permission so that I can go and openly invite people towards Islam." Because 38 Muslims, remember, they were living in a time where there was enemies around them. Those people that whenever you mention the name of Allah, they will torture you. Ma'azallah, Abba Sayyiduna Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Umme Yasar and all these great companions, they were tortured, they were persecuted. Why? Because they believed in Allah, they believed in Islam. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to him that, "Abu Bakr, Allah has not given me the permission to openly announce Islam. So therefore, hold on for a while, I will let you know." Look at the jazbah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the passion that he had for Islam. "Ya Rasulullah, give me the ijazat, I will go and preach them." Just imagine if we were in a busy place and there was only a few Muslims scattered about, would you be able to stand up and preach Islam? It's going to be very difficult. And that them people, you know that they will come and attack you as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Abu Bakr, go, I give you permission today. Go and preach Islam openly." And he says that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went near the Kaaba. You've seen the Kaaba, beautiful. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes close to the Kaaba and he invites people towards Islam. Some other companions, they do the same as well. Now it says that when Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was calling people into Islam, the kuffar of Makkah, when they saw that, they came running to Abu Bakr Siddiq. They tried stopping him. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued preaching Islam. And they came to a place where Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was now jumped by the people. They were physically attacking Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's face was so injured, was so disfigured that people could not recognize that he is Abu Bakr. That's how much he was hit by the kuffar, to an extent that he felt unconscious. Can you imagine if that was us? No, can you imagine that? If people were jumping us, if people were hitting us, how would we feel? Now look at the feeling of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It says that when Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's tribesmen, his fellow tribes people, when they found out they all came to his rescue and they took him home. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back around, there was only one question on his tongue. He goes to his mother, "Tell me, how is my beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Not bothered about himself. He doesn't bother about himself. He's not worried what happened to me. He's only worried about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his mother, she says, "My son, you are injured. You are injured, you are bleeding. Please eat something and then we'll talk." And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he says, "By Allah, I will not eat or drink anything unless I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my own eyes." That is what you call love. That is when you love someone, you only think about him. When you love someone, you will give your life for that person. He says that the Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu's sister and his mother took him to Darul Arqam. Darul Arqam, where you find the Mount Safa, Darul Arqam was around in that area. Darul Arqam was used as a university, as a place of meeting where the Muslims, the early Muslims will meet and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would preach them about Islam. So they took him to Darul Arqam. It says that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became emotional as well. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became so emotional that he says, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my mother and father be sacrificed for you. I am fine. It is only my face that is slightly injured." The very day this event transpired, the mother of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Ummul Khair, and Sayyidina Amir Hamza accepted Islam as well. You know, the greatest companions that we know today, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and many, many other people from the Ashra Mubashara, you know, those people who have been guaranteed paradise, majority of them entered into Islam by the infradi koshish, by the struggles of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And subhanallah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had so much love for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Remember, he was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's best friend even in childhood as well. He was born 2.5 years after the incident of the elephants. You know, we talk about world records. So-and-so person's world, you know, made the world record. So-and-so person beat the world record. Try beating this world record. You are the first man to accept Islam. You'll never beat this record. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the record holder of being the first man to accept Islam. Now he says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to Yemen and there he met with a monk, and the monk asked him a few questions and he was answering them. And he says that, "If you don't mind, I just want to see your stomach." So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "You've asked me so many questions. You want to see my stomach? At least tell me why." And he says that, "Because we've read in the scriptures about the final Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will be born in Makkah. He will have two friends. One of them, I think it's you, and I want to see that sign." So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lifted his kurta and the monk saw that sign and he says to him, "Immediately go back to Makkah." Now, as this is happening here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has announced his prophethood. People, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing people into Islam, is preaching them. Now the people of Makkah, the people of Quraysh, they've got now a chance. You know why? Because they know Abu Bakr is very close to him. Now's our chance that we separate them. So they, Abu Jahl and Abu Bakhtari and all these guys, they came to the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He goes, "Abu Bakr, whilst you were away, one of your friends has now announced that he is a prophet of Allah. He says that he is the prophet of Allah, the final prophet of Allah, and he's preaching people about Islam." Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks him, "Who is he?" He goes, "It's your friend Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu now goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He stood outside, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sees him, opens the door and he says, "Abu Bakr, what brought you here?" He goes, "I have heard that you have announced prophethood. You are preaching about Islam, the oneness of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, "Yes, Abu Bakr, I am the last messenger of Allah. I am the final prophet of Allah, and I invite you towards Islam." And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Can I see a few signs?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He goes, "Abu Bakr, did the monk not tell you any signs? Did that monk in Yemen not tell you any signs?" He goes, "Yes, I know about them." "How do you know about the monk?" Immediately Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu recites the kalima and becomes the first man in Islam. Subhan. Now just imagine the record of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And not only that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also been mentioned inside the glorious Quran as well. Now in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, "Wala yansuranna Allahu man yansuru," and Allah will undoubtedly, definitely help the one who helps his religion. Sayyiduna Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, "Allah shall definitely help whoever helps his religion." Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah alayhi explains this verse of the Quran: helping the saints of Allah, serving the Prophet and spreading Islamic knowledge all fall under aiding the religion of Islam. And subhanallah, in another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal talks about those, we can all be helpers of Islam. You know, sometimes you ask, is preaching Islam, is that the duty of Dawat Islami? Is this the duty of the scholars? Is this the duty only with people who have beards and imamah? No, as Muslims, me and you are all preachers of Islam. We are all helpers of Islam. We have a duty towards Allah. We have a duty towards Islam. And that duty is that we also preach Islam according to our capability. Each and every one of us. You know, sometimes, you know, we have this thought, and again, it's a satanic thought. We sometimes think, what can I do? I don't know much about Islam. What can I do? Let me tell you, even if you don't talk, people will look at you and they will accept Islam. That's what happened in the streets of Medina. The Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they used to walk on the streets of Medina. People used to ask them, "Who are you?" The way they used to dress, the way they used to talk, the way they used to walk. People looked at them and accepted Islam. People looked at the awliya Allah. Sayyiduna Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. How many bayans did he do in front of people? No, they did not listen to his bayans. Many people accepted Islam by listening to his bayans. But it's mentioned, 90 lakh Hindus accepted Islam by looking at Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz. They looked at him, the way he was dressed, the way he would talk, the way he would behave. People looked at him and they accepted Islam. Even today, don't forget, alhamdulillah, because we are all preachers of Islam. I met with a taxi driver the other day, and he says, "You know what, alhamdulillah, I'm very happy today." And I go, "Mashallah, what's happened?" He goes, "I picked up a job today, and the guy started talking about Islam. First of all, he was a bit negative, he had a few questions, but alhamdulillah, I had my mate on the phone, and he was asking these questions, answering them. He walked in my car as a kafir, he walked out as a Muslim." He wasn't an alim. He wasn't a hafiz, he wasn't a scholar, but what made him, alhamdulillah, is the way his manners were, the way he was talking to that person, he accepted Islam. Just the other day, I was in Canada at that time, I got a phone call. It was early morning here, it was early about 10 o'clock in Canada, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I never turned my phone off, and I heard the phone ringing, and you know, sometimes you think it's just a dream. And then when it started ringing again, I woke up, I saw the phone, and I goes, "You know, it's one of my friends." He goes, "There's a person stood next to me, he's walked into my shop, he's got a mobile phone shop, and he wants to accept Islam." And I goes, "Brilliant, put him on the phone." So alhamdulillah, he had a couple of questions, and alhamdulillah, I answered these questions, and on the phone, alhamdulillah, he accepted Islam. And you know the happiness that you feel, that alhamdulillah, you know, you've got someone that has accepted Islam. You know, that sense of happiness and that sense of responsibility, that alhamdulillah, I've tried my best. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, we are all preachers of Islam. Those who are sat here, those who are watching our home, we all have a duty. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in another place, Surah Al-Muhammad, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, in tansurullaha yansurkum, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum." O believers, if you help the religion of Allah, Allah will help you and will make your foothold firm. There is no telling the number of imams that pray for those people who work for Islam, whether at Jummah or Eid. In fact, Ala Hazrat Imam Ali Asr, you know the khutbah the Imam Sahib reads on a Friday, in that khutbah there is also a dua as well. That dua is Allahumma ansur man nasara deena sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad. O Allah, aid the one who aids the religion of our leader and master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani in the khutbah, your name it might not be by name, but you are mentioned in the khutbah. Why? Because you are helping the deen of Allah. Now what does that mean? How do you help the deen of Allah? By giving bayans, by meeting people, going to someone's house, telling them, look, I'm walking into the masjid for salah, come with me, meeting someone at the barber shop and you talk about Islam, just preaching them, talking to them about Islam, you are now aiding the religion of Islam. And subhanallah, the dua of Ala Hazrat is, Ya Allah, help those people. Help those people. Just like, you know, the Sahaba Ikram who used to live in Madinatul Munawwara, and they were called the Ansar, the helpers. Because they were the ones that helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Ala Hazrat writes another dua. Straight after that, he says, "Wakhzul man khazala deena sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad." O Allah, whoever does not help the religion of our leader and master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not help them. You know, so just imagine, if we do not help the deen of Allah, we, you know, in the khutbah, we are listening to the Imam Sahib making this dua, Ya Allah, don't help them. And Alhamdulillah, look at the people who helped Islam. You know, who has been to Data Darbar in Lahore? Yeah, mashallah, we've all been. A majority of us have. You know, you've been to Mazarat in all locality as well. Why? We don't know who Data Sahib is. We never were at his time. He was nearly 1,000 years ago. But why do we go to Data Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi? Why do people go to the Mazarat of the Awliya Allah? Why? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. You remember me, I'll remember you. We remember Allah, we help the deen of Allah, then what will happen? Allah will remember us. That is why you see, whenever, I've been many times, Alhamdulillah, whenever you go to Data Darbar, you will not find less than 100 people there. There's queues and queues of people. Why? He is the one who helped the deen of Allah. And look at the way that Allah is remembering him through people reading the Quran. There's someone giving langar outside. There's someone sat near the mazar making dua. There's someone reading the Quran. There's someone doing mafil-e-naat. There's someone reading nawafil for the isal-e-sawab. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you. Today, my dear Islam brothers, we need to make this mindset that if we do the work of Islam, the work of deen, when we are in our dark and lonely graves, Allah will help us there as well. There's so many stories about the awliya Allah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentions that when a person dies and is buried inside his grave, you know the first thing the person asks, he's scared. It's a new home, he's never been there. He's got no one around him. He's scared. And the first thing he says is, where's my family? Where's my friends? Where's all my family members? Where's my children? And he hears a voice, no one is with you apart from your own amal. Your only actions are with you in the grave. But those people who help the deen of Islam, those people who preach Islam, Alhamdulillah, the grave will call out to them, don't worry, I'm going to treat you the way a mother treats a baby. That's how, you know, these are the success stories. These are stories that Alhamdulillah, we can make our life a better life. Now my dear Islam brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned inside the glorious Quran about the status of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the Quran it's mentioned, وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. And very soon he will be kept far away from it, yani the hell, and the one who is the most pious. And the scholars, they refer that this verse talks about Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, who was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? First, Alhamdulillah, he is the first man in Islam. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given so many titles by the Prophet. You know his real name wasn't Abu Bakr. His real name was not Abu Bakr. His real name was Abdullah. His family named him Abdullah. His name is Abdullah. The title Siddiq, why he was given the title of Siddiq? You know when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in Mi'raj, on that night, that beautiful sacred journey, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back And he told people that I went to Masjid al-Aqsa. It was called the furthest Masjid. Masjid al-Aqsa, it normally takes about 2 weeks to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Because at that time people used to have camels and horses. It used to take them about 2 weeks to get to Masjid al-Aqsa. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back and told the people that I went to Masjid al-Aqsa, I went into the heavens, I come back the same night, my bed was still warm, the water was still running. And the people, they said, how is this possible? And then all the time they were looking for ways to break this partnership of Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, right, we've got him now. We've got him. Now when Abu Bakr Siddiq comes, we're going to tell him what his friend's talking about. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he meets with one of these people of Makkah, the Qurayshi, and they said, Abu Bakr, have you heard someone new? He goes, what? There's someone, would you believe if someone says, I went to Jerusalem and I've come back the same night? Forget Jerusalem, I went into the heavens and I've come back the same night. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, how is that possible? And he goes, that's what we're trying to say to you. Your friend Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has just told us he's been to Jerusalem, he's been to the heavens and he's come back. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu smiled and said, you didn't tell me it was him. If he said that, wallah, I believe him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the title of As-Siddiq, the most truthful one. That's why we know him as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another title that he was given was Atiq. Atiq. And it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, Anta Atiqullahi minan nar. You are free from the fire of hell by the grace of Almighty Allah. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as As-Siddiq and Al-Atiq as well. Subhanallah. Now, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he passed away on the 22nd of Jamadi al-Ukhra. Sayyidina Abu Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the honorable companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once asked, O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved to you from the people? Who is the most beloved to you from the people? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Aisha. Who is Aisha? She is the blessed daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, amongst the men, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Aisha's father, Allah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing with Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrived, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved forward, shook his hand, hugged him, kissed him on his face. He then said to Ali, O Abu al-Hasan, the rank of Abu Bakr with me is like my rank with Allah. That is the rank. And you know, one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were both stood outside and they were gazing into the heavens and they were seeing these beautiful stars shining. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she thought, let me ask him a question. She goes, O Prophet of Allah, you know these beautiful stars, there's millions of them. Is there anyone from your ummah who has the deeds more than the stars? And the Prophet sallallahu, and she wanted an answer. What was the answer that she was looking for? My dad, Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, yes, Aisha, it is Umar bin Khattab. And she got a bit saddened that I thought it was my father. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she asked him, she goes, but Ya Rasulullah, what about my father? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at her again and said, oh Aisha, Umar bin Khattab's deeds on one side, your dad's one deed is still far better than Abu Bakr, Umar. That is the love. And one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's been a few companions where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to them, ask me whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want. That night, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Aisha, ask me whatever you want. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is now, you know, she's confused. What shall I ask for? You know, shall I ask for the dunya? Shall I ask for the hereafter? What do I ask? And then she says, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know what to ask. Can I go and ask my dad? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by all means, go and ask your dad. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu met with Sayyida Aisha and she says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking me whatever you want, ask me. I don't know what to ask him. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "O Aisha, do you know on the night of Mi'raj, Allah had secret words with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That secret between Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one knows about them. Just ask him, tell us one secret. Tell us one secret." So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she goes back and she said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you tell us one secret that Allah told you on the night of Mi'raj?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He goes, "Subhanallah, what a beautiful question Abu Bakr has asked." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Oh Aisha, Allah told me that the one who mends or who puts happiness in the heart of a Muslim, paradise will become necessary upon him. Jannat will become wajib upon him." Who? The one who puts happiness in the heart of a Muslim. And she was so pleased with that. She went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and she says, "The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told me one of them secrets. He says, whoever puts happiness in the heart of a Muslim, Jannat will become wajib upon him." So then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu started to cry. And she said, "Dad, why are you crying for? Such a beautiful secret and you are crying." He says, "Aisha, you look at the other side of the coin. On the other side, whoever breaks the heart of another Muslim, Jahannam will become wajib upon him." Now we sometimes don't think of that. Sometimes, you know, even putting a happiness, even putting a smile on the face of a Muslim, alhamdulillah, is also charity as well. Try to put a smile. You know, smiling, I think I mentioned it here as well. In America, there was a person who committed suicide. Oh, I told this one, no? I'll tell you today. In America, it was in the news, this person committed suicide. And they found a suicide note in his pocket. And you know what said in that suicide note? It said, "If I meet anyone on the way who smiles at me, I will not commit suicide." So what does that mean? He didn't meet anyone that smiled at him and he committed suicide. Today, everyone's so serious. Always have a smile on your face. Adhaka Allahu sinna. So we can read the dua as well. Have a smile on your face. Doesn't matter what problems you are going through. Does Allah not know our problems? He does. Allah, does He not know what we are going through? Does He not know what He want, what we want? He knows what's in our hearts. He knows everything. You don't even have to ask Him. He knows what you want. And that is our Creator, our Rabb Azza wa Jal. You know, sometimes we come to the masjid. I saw this Islamic brother the other day. And he came to the masjid the way he was offering his salah, as if he had a race with someone. You know, if he had a race with someone, he'll win the race. And he offered his salah and he was legging it out and I caught him. I goes, "Brother, tell me one thing. I saw you, mashallah, you came to the masjid, you did wudu, you came, you offered your salah. Why are you in such a rush?" "Oh, I've got to go back to work, innit?" "Okay, who's the owner of your work? Who's going to feed you? If you don't go to work, will Allah not feed you?" "Yes, He will." So if Allah is the owner of sustenance, of rizq, then why are you running away from Him? You came here to worship Allah. Do you ever think, now this is in your mind, do you ever think that if you worship Allah, Allah's not going to give you anything? It's not going to happen. Allah will give you, inshallah, what is better for you. Sometimes we ask from Him, "Ya Allah, I need this job." And I had someone, one of my friends, he comes and goes, "Make dua, Yara, I need this job, man. I don't have a job. I need it desperately." And I said, "Look, if it's in your kismet, inshallah, you'll get it. If it's not, Allah will give you someone better." He didn't get the job. He was so upset. He goes, "I'm so upset, Yara. I wanted that job seriously." And guess what? A few months later, COVID kicked in, the company closed. And I said, "This is why you didn't get the job. Allah is wanting something better for you." And now, alhamdulillah, he's been in a job for more than 2 years and the pay is good as well. Yeah, so again, Allah is the one. Trust Him. You know, Mufti Qasim Sahab, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, he mentioned, the past few days I've mentioned this so many times. Mufti Sahab, he says, "Why do you work hard? Why don't you work smart? You know, work smart rather than working hard." I met with someone, he's in debt for £10,000. Yeah, look, lakhan lakhan karze to bhai, when you need any tension. Yeah, and you're worried about £10,000. Don't worry, inshallah. Allah will help you. And you know what he did? He works in a factory 12 hours. Yeah, that's 12 hours hard labor. And then he comes back from the factory now because he needs to pay this person his loan back. So what he's decided is he's got another job for himself. Yeah, so he's working another four hours in a takeaway and he's doing deliveries. And he's getting paid. and I, it's been about 2.5 weeks. After the third week, we're not machines, we're humans. We get tired, we get headaches, we get stomach aches, we get tired. For 3 weeks, he worked so hard. For the next of the 5 weeks, he was in bed. Faida, why are you working hard? Work smart. Who is the helper? Allah. Does Allah Ta'ala, he has the power to, inshallah, help you make dua. Why are you killing yourself? Now that person, I'm telling you, if there's anyone sat here as well, thinking, oh my God, I do the same as well. Yeah? Don't work hard. Don't work so hard. Allah's, you know, there's a limit to our bodies. There's a limit to our body. If you go beyond that limit, you're going to break up. You know, and that person, if he's working for 16 hours, you tell me, is he going to give any time to the family? No, he's not going to give time to a family. And I know someone who used to work as a taxi driver. I'm not talking about any taxi drivers, but he used to work as a taxi driver. His own kids used to call him Chachu. Yeah, Chachu's here. It's not Chachu, it's Abba. But we've never seen him. Whenever he's back, they're asleep. Whenever he's awake, they're at school as well. They've never seen him. And there's another guy that I found out. He sadly passed away in his car, you know, when he was at work. And his family, they said, we hardly ever saw him. Well, don't work so hard. Work hard, whatever job you are doing. Put your heart and time. The Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan, they met with the companion. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if only this person, he was young, he was very, mashallah, fit and healthy. If only he spent this youth in the way of Allah. In the way of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, oh my Sahaba, listen. If this person is working hard to earn halal for his children, for his family, he's earning halal for his parents, he's earning halal so that he doesn't beg in front of people, he is in the way of Allah. So me and you, when we go out to work in the morning, 8-hour shift, 12-hour shift, whatever you do, you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, and you are doing it so that you can earn yourself halal rizq. That is also that you are in the path of Allah. It is also ibadat. It's ibadat for the person who earns his halal money. We need to look ourselves. Let's all look at ourselves and see where we are. Our relationship with my family might be good. My relationship with my friends might be good. But what about my relationship with my Creator? What about my relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is my relationship there? And as Muslims, my dear Islam brothers, what have we done for Islam? We need to look at ourselves. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, there is so much we can do. Out there, just go outside, you see what filth there is in the town centers today. I guarantee you go to the town center now, you'll find Muslims drunken on the streets. I went to a town where I had a bayan, and the road was closed, and the diversions were taken through the town center. And 3 people at that town center I saw, they were Muslims, they were drunk, and they were on the street. It makes you feel sad. What are we doing? Seriously, ask yourself, and I ask myself this question, what are we doing? What can we do? Let me tell you. Give your name for the Madani Kafila, travel on that Madani Kafila, learn about your deen, preach your deen, and inshallah, you are helping the religion of Islam. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, educate yourself. When you educate yourself, you know, those people, that nation, why did the first word of the Quran, what was it? Iqra. Read. So Allah Azza wa Jal has stressed about education. We need to be educated in ourselves. Our teacher, he used to say that when we were young, and you know, there were so many rallies that were taken in the time, in 1940s, late 1946, 47. Every day there used to be rallies. We want Pakistan to be freed. And he goes, in the streets, people used to shout the head of madrasa children. He goes, our teacher used to say, Or Zoran Abao, Or Zoran. He goes, you fools, you're just going to make yourself tired. Learn something, educate, and sit with them on the table, you'll get your Pakistan. That's how we got it as well. And we need to look at ourselves. How much are we educated as? Where do you get the education from? I'll tell you where. And I'll tell you how cheap it is to get an Islamic education. If you were to take your children to a class, you know, weekend classes, how much do they normally charge? 30 pounds, or roughly I was going to say that, 30 pounds, 35 pounds, someone might get a voucher and there'll be 25 pounds. Yo, I've got a deal here, mate. 25 pounds an hour, you know, that is a good deal. And if we say to you, give us 10 pounds, we'll teach you for an hour. Who's that person, Naji? Yeah, we'll think about that. But I'm going to give you a beautiful deal today. Inshallah, I've got this beautiful magazine. This magazine, Fazane Medina. Normally, I have seen people queuing up in bookshops to buy a book. Any book, you know. They queue up all night. Why? They want to get their hands on it. I've never seen any queues by getting their hands on Fazane Medina magazine. That's 35, I'll tell you. It's on the first page. There are nearly 46 different topics in this book. 46 different topics. So you can say there are 46 different types of books in this one magazine. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful colored magazine. And Alhamdulillah, there's the stories of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's about business rights, women's corner. And also, Alhamdulillah, children's corner as well. Children. It's got a word search in it. Make sure you get one today. Yeah, so it's got a word search in there. It's got a children's corner. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, it's got stories about, you know, the Quran. And then about developing your self-accountability. So Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, I've read it all. It's delivered to my door. Alhamdulillah. And guess how much this is? I'm telling you, you don't even need a bank loan for it. It's only £6 a month. That equates to 20 pence a day. Yara vine pirini ice cream vini labni. Ice cream ka pura dana vini yada dene. That's how things are, you know. But Alhamdulillah, 20 pence a day, if you invest, this is investment for you hereafter. I want you to go and get this magazine subscribed. You can have an annual subscription. What, 6 times 12? 72, correct. 6 times 12 is 72. If you do an annual subscription, you'll get it for £60. So you just pay £60 for the whole year, you'll get this delivered to your door. Or if you want to do it monthly, it's £6 a month because it costs for the postage as well. Who's going to subscribe one? MashaAllah. Those who haven't put their hands up must be thinking, what is he talking about? And I'm talking about the magazine. I want everyone, please, to subscribe to this magazine. Inshallah, I'm not going to say that we're going to lock the doors and everyone needs to subscribe before they go. But what I'm saying is, please, if even viewers on Madani channel as well, if you haven't subscribed to the magazine, please subscribe to it now. And we can send you the link. It's so easy. Within 35 seconds, you'll subscribe to it. And inshallah, it'll come through your door. And I don't need to tell you, I don't want to tell you what the filth is going around in our communities today. I got a phone call from a worried family. Their 17-year-old daughter has left Islam. I got a message from a masjid, a letter. We got 10 girls have not only left Islam, they've changed their gender as well. We're fighting against so much filth out there. Our children are losing this battle. Please, I'm not saying to you, I get a cut from this. It's for our benefit. I want you to subscribe to it. At least you'll have something every month, new stuff that you can read and save your iman. Beautiful English, easy English as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us. And may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins for the sake of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyi Al-Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu Alal Habib.
For you, smile, pray, oh,